so I will find a way. Yeah. It took a minute, now it didn't happen right away. Nah. When it get hot in the kitchen, you decide to stay. Yeah. That's how a winner's made. Yeah. Stick a fork in the hater on my dinner plate. Yeah. I walk into the fire like it's just a bit of flame. I switch my style up with the money pile up. I'm a gear
ritual night. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Clydesdale Media Podcast, where we are featuring the athletes of the semifinals. This West Coast Classic edition, we are featuring Amy Hosking. What's going on, Amy?
Hello. Nice to see you, Scott.
Yeah, you too. I was going to tell you before we went on air, but I'm going to say it on air.
Yeah.
Every year we do these semifinal series, and there are stories that like grab me and touch me. And you were one of my favorite interviews last year, and I was rooting for you so hard to make it back this year to have you back on to catch up with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I'm happy to be back on.
Yeah. You're going to semis again.
I know. Yeah. I'm happy about that too, obviously.
So I was looking at your numbers. We talk about that at the beginning of all these shows. Last year you came into the semis in 37th. Mm-hmm. There were 60 in the field. This year they cut that field to 40, and that 37th looked a little scary, but you crushed that with a 27th place going in this year. Was there any trepidation, worry going in when they cut that field down?
I mean, initially when it happened, it was, I don't even remember in the season, but I felt pretty confident. Like, okay, I did 37th last year. Like, most likely I can get in again. And then as it got closer and closer to, I was getting more and more nervous about it. Just, you know, that's pretty natural. And then when they released the tests and seeing it was only 4 tests plus, like, I would not call those wheelhouse workouts for me, the quarterfinals workouts. I was like quite, I would say almost depressed for like the first 2 days of quarterfinals. Cause I was like, I had such doubts that I could make it in. And honestly, like that wall ball burpee one, especially, like that's going to be a hard workout for me.
So you finish the first two and you submit them. Then the leaderboard becomes public. Where did you sit after 2 days?
I was in 63rd, but what I reminded myself of is like, okay, it's not about the placing. Look at the point spread. And it was literally only 35 points between me and 40th. So I knew that's nothing. That's nothing. And I feel more confident that I could be like consistently high in the second two workouts. Number one actually worked out to be my best score overall. But yeah, the second two workouts launched me. And like, I knew there was going to be more separators in those workouts. Like there's going to be people who can't do strict handstand pushups or wall facing or ring muscle ups once they're like crazy fatigued. Yeah. So it worked out.
Or 10 rope climbs or.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or 165 bar. Like most people can do it, but can you do it for a ton of reps?
Right. Especially under fatigue. What order did you do them in?
I did the gymnastics one first and then wall balls and then workout one. And then I repeated the wall balls because I didn't finish it originally. And I was like, you need to. So in my head, I just needed to qualify. So yeah, I repeated number two and then repeated gymnastics. And then finish off with the clean and jerk. So I actually only repeated 2 of the 4 workouts.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much of that wall ball workout? I mean, I went, my co-host Jamie, I went up to her house to watch her do them because I like to see them kind of in action to be able to talk and through the stuff. And for me watching that wall ball workout, it was all mental. It was all, can you tell your body just to keep the pace?
Yep.
And did you?
That's what I found too. Like, obviously you need fitness to do it. Yeah, and it was like a lot of leg fatigue. I feel like honestly my legs hurt more than I was breathing hard, but it exactly was that the mental side, because I was trying to think of it like an erg, because like I can push on an erg and go really hard for 20 minutes, you know, like I can do really well on a bike erg, but there's so many opportunities to stop when you're doing burpees. So you had to kind of just stay in a rhythm. I was like, okay, just get into a rhythm, and you have to tell yourself, like, keep going. You can do this, because there's times where you just want to stop. I mean, every single burpee, basically, you want to stop.
Oh, yeah. That is not my workout. Clydesdales are not good at those things. But Jamie killed it, and I got to watch her. She actually sped up in the last round.
Yeah,
especially on the burpees. Not the wall ball stayed pretty much steady, but then as you know, like the lights at the end of the tunnel, she was able to kick it up a gear toward the end.
Yeah,
we have a couple people in the chat just saying hi. Corey Leonard says yo. Kyle Greenlee, good morning, Scott.
Name. Hi, Kyle. He goes to my name.
Bradley Brunel Davis, you're the best, Amy.
Thanks, Brad.
So you're still with OPT?
Yeah.
And you have a crew up there. Did you guys do the workouts together?
I was always with at least one other person, but we were kind of all over the place. We kind of cycle through three different facilities, because the OPT facility, there's lots of other clients, like it's not just competitive. So we had it blocked off from like 10 to 2 each day. And so if you wanted to do the workouts outside of those time periods, you had to go somewhere else, which is fine. Cause like, for instance, the gymnastics one, the setup's not great in that gym. So we'd all go somewhere else. But yeah, usually we'd stick in packs of like 2 to 5 and cheer each other on, which it helps a lot. And obviously like we have a super talented pool of people. So it's always good to push with the people who, you know, are going to like crush specific workouts and have top times in that, just to give you an idea of what to push for.
How much advice is given back and forth from people who may have done it before you?
Depends on the person. Some people are like not super open about it and just want to keep private, which is totally fine. But most of us will pass on advice, just with the caveat is like everyone's so different. Like the where you feel fatigue is going to be really different. Like I found the gymnastics one super grippy. Other people were like, I didn't feel my grip at all. It was just my triceps. So you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. But generally, we're happy to share tips and tricks and
help. So I was watching Hiller's video at Mayhem yesterday. And he was talking to Saxon Pancheck, which I found riveting. And I actually have Saxon on Monday. So we're going to talk about this with him. But he talked about like that today's CrossFit athletes don't work out at an affiliate or like a gym, right? Mm. For the most part. There are some, but not all. And that, like in his opinion, there are 40 spots at semifinals, and if you're working out at a gym with others, you should try to lift everybody up to make it into those 40 spots, as mm-hmm. many people as you can. Mm-hmm. What's your philosophy on that?
No, I'm totally with him. I completely agree with that. Cause even though they cut the spots, like to me, there's room for everybody to get in. Like if it was 10 spots, I think it'd be a bit more cutthroat, because there's like 10 of us wanting to try to get in. But to me, it's exactly that. Like we always want to beat each other. Obviously we're competitive, but I think it's good to root for everyone. And it's helpful to bring each other up. Like what's the saying? Steel sharpens steel. Like that's for sure the case.
Yeah. And he wasn't saying it in a soft way. He was saying it as like, we as a group should try to take all the spots.
Yeah,
right?
Take over.
Right. Like, the heck with everybody else. We're going to take all the spots, but we should lift each other up to get all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought was a really cool concept. Mm-hmm. And I wanted your opinion because you do have like a crew of people that kind of are all singing out of the same hymn book or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you make it, you get through all of quarters, and then the Wednesday after, all hell breaks loose, where penalties are being thrown around left and right. How did that play on your nerves from that point?
Yeah, good question. So it's kind of funny. Like, obviously, I'm always nervous for video review. Like, I'm very cautious around those things. I'm the person who like reads the rule book through, reads all the standards through, and then I'm still paranoid that something's wrong. Or we forgot to take a video of something. But anyways, this year, it kind of worked out nicely for me in a way, because I think both my one and two got validated on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So I got validated, and then all of a sudden, I'm hearing about big names getting penalized on workout one. And so, like, I thought it was kind of like, oh, at first I was like, oh, drama, like kind of fun. But then it's immediately started getting not fun when it was like, okay, now there's 100, there's 200. Like, this is serious. And then also I've had a couple friends impacted by it
at our gym.
And that sucks to see. Yeah, Matt and Greg are the two guys who got penalized. So I was like, okay, well, this completely sucks for them. And it seems like out of control at this point, but then CrossFit's gotten themselves in a place like you can't win now because you can't change things. You can't go back on the standard you put in place because that's not fair to people who did it correctly and probably is slightly slower because of that. Yeah, it's tough.
So I've boldly made the statement on a game show that I don't think they should change that aspect. I think they should stay strict and even lean into it more and do more video review, not just one workout, but more. Mm-hmm. Give themselves more time, back the quarters right up against the open, and then they have more weeks to do it all.
Yeah.
But then I heard because I've seen and my basis on that, I've seen a lot of really good athletes not make it because people put in crappy videos. Mm-hmm. And that shouldn't be there. And that upsets me. So I'm still pro athlete. I'm just for the ones who did it right. And saying that, like, I love Matt. Like, Matt Brady is mm-hmm. one of my favorite people in the world. And I've never seen his video, so I don't even know good, bad, or indifferent. But then I heard Rich, who is probably my CrossFit man crush, say today that you're keeping someone out of semifinals because of step-up capacity. And then I'm like, man, that is really touchy. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not even like capacity. Like, it's just that 0.2 seconds you needed to take to completely lock out, and like it would get caught in-person competition. Like, yeah, it's tough. And yeah, I haven't seen everybody's videos either. I don't know. So
right.
It's tough to say, but like off of like Pat Vellner's video, for instance, like I don't think it would have taken him any more time to lock out his knee on his left side. It just, he didn't realize it was happening. And his judge didn't say anything. So it's tough. And I think they really were quite harsh on the penalties.
And I do applaud Pat for putting it out there because he didn't have to.
No. Yeah, that's like a super vulnerable position.
Right. And as a former judge, like he did have soft knees. There is no question about that. Mm-hmm. I think what they could clean up is a arbitrary percentage shift from, it can be anywhere from 15 to 40. Like, that just seems way too arbitrary and up to decisions.
Especially on workouts that are reps, that just like trashed people. Like, I think it should have been just however many reps were bad, take those away. Don't say like there was a significant amount, which they don't even have defined in the rule book. And then you'd give them a 40% or 15%. Like, that's pretty harsh. A 15% penalty on like a timed workout is a bit different of the case, but.
Well, and I think the other factor is we have 25% of the population now doing this, and the penalties made you fall into that wash with all of those athletes. So it became even a more significant penalty than it had in years past.
Yeah.
So I think some of that could be cleaned up, but I do think they should be strict with the review process, as long as they don't allow the judge to stop, pause, blow up the review.
Right. Put lines like, yeah, that's a bit too much. Like, treat it more like a live.
Correct.
Competition.
Because like it's Pat Pounder's video, live, I would have said was a no rep.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah. And live, I would have told him and he would have stopped.
He would have corrected it and done like just as well. Exactly. Yeah. So it's tough. I agree they should be strict on it. And I mean, even thinking about it for myself, I'm like, okay, now I'm going to take like two camera angles next year if it's going to be like this. And I agree they should look at all the workouts because, I mean, they validated my workout 3, but I don't think they really looked at it. So,
well, I've actually talked to athletes that had workouts never validated.
Yeah, my workout 4 wasn't.
Yeah. So I think those they didn't look at at all.
No, which a rep or two on that last workout could have been huge places. So it's tough that they are so harsh on one, but not the other, because it would have shuffled things completely again.
Well, cool. Well, now that that's all over, I want to talk about some more fun stuff. So can you explain to me the title Trailer Park Girls?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was our Wadapalooza name for our team of 3. So Trailer Park Boys, do you know that show? It's a Canadian show. Yeah. Trailer Park Boys is a Canadian show. It's a comedy, like pretty dry humor, but classic Canada. Like, I think it was originally set in the East Coast, but then it became really big in Alberta because a lot of people, it resonated with them. But so that was part of it. Like, okay, we're Canadian. And then my friend Kendra Dutton, she was on the team. She like famously has trailer park cleans because she's not the strongest squatter. So she often just like starfishes her cleans. So that was kind of part of it as well. And just keeping it light and fun. Like, that was the whole point of going to that competition.
Kyle Greenlee says the best show.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. You should check out a couple clips.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think of something. Okay, but so you go to Wadapalooza. You have a cool name because that's half of Wadapalooza. You can't just go with like your typical CrossFit name. It has to be something cool for the glitz and glam of Wadapalooza.
Exactly.
Was that your first time there?
Yeah. Yeah, first time there. First time even in Florida, actually. But yeah, I did the Wadapalooza qualifier. I think the past 2 years in individual, it didn't work out. and then the timing of it, the individual didn't make sense this year. But we were talking, the 3 of us, and decided why not take a chance. Like, originally we were going for the RX division. And then we made a push and got into Elite. So that was a pretty cool experience to get there. It was my goal to, in the off season, do at least one large competition just to get more exposure to those types of environments, because I was so like overstimulated at semifinals last year. So I'm glad we did that. Then it was also like a lower pressure competition, being a team and just going to have fun.
But if you want to be overstimulated, that is the place to be.
Yes. I did not realize how large it was.
It is a massive party.
Say that again, sorry?
It's a massive party.
Yeah. Yeah, it was super fun. And like having that stage on the barge, like that was so epic. So cool.
So on a serious note, like what did you learn during that weekend?
Good question. I mean, competing in a team is pretty cool because you get to learn how other athletes compete. And both those girls, like Lindsay, maybe you'll have her on the show, Lindsay Martin. But they're so cool. They're such cool ladies, like, and they're so fierce. They're very fierce competitors, and I'm a bit more of an anxious competitor. So it was really good to feed off their vibes. Like, yeah, so that was cool. And you kind of always get exposed to like, okay, where are they wanting to rest and when I'm not? And where am I wanting to rest when they're not? And you can kind of take that and say, and bring that into your training and approaches to other events that you do. And then, I mean, the weather that weekend was also not the best. So it was good exposure to having things shifted around. Like times got shifted. I think they changed like 2 or 3 events on us as well. So just rolling with the punches was another big learning as well. And kind of just being prepared for whatever is thrown at you.
Yeah, rumor is that they changed events while you were in the corral.
Correct, yeah. The last workout was pretty bad. Like, they did change the second workout that we did on the barge, where we were doing lunges, I think, instead of the step overs. And they told us that in the tent. It started raining, like, as soon as we went out. And they were like, okay, you got to go back. Okay, now we're changing it. But it wasn't changed to like the reps were the same. So it was pretty easy to like process that. But the final event was a total like crap show. It was really bad because it was raining. We had a weather delay. So they said our heat was pushed. And then they said, just kidding. Your heat's going to be at the same time again. But at that point, we had literally 5 minutes to warm up.
Those are the things I heard. It was my first time not there in like 4 years.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. That was crazy. And they changed like all the reps on us. So we didn't know what was going on. I swear our judge didn't even know the rep scheme. Cause if you look at the video, I'm doing strict pull-ups and I'm like, okay, I'm done. And I run. And then he's like, no, you have more. And I go back and I do like 2. And I think I'm done. And he goes, no. So who knows? We're not sure if we did it right. It was fun though.
Yeah, I know famously one male team said they did like 900 double unders because the reps were so off. And crazy.
Oh, well.
So you have that experience though, because I think last year when I talked to you, semis was your first big comp.
Mm-hmm.
So how did last year go at semis? You say you were overstimulated. What did you learn from that experience?
Yeah, last year was not fun for me. I did not have fun.
It's very weird though. Every time I saw you, you were smiling.
Yeah, I think I was trying to. Like I was trying to really like take in the moment. And I shouldn't say I had no fun. Like we had such a big group there that was so amazing. And like the first event, I was trying to really take it all in. Like I was on the treadmill and my whole family was in front of me. So that's really cool. I'm definitely going to like take that with me, like soak in every single moment. But I also, I don't know, I like put way too much pressure on myself last year. I think like, in my head, I was like, this is my time that I can like get exposed and like potentially get sponsors and stuff like that. And I must perform because unfortunately, like that's the case. Like the people who get the top times get the most attention. So I think there was that. And yeah, then events just like didn't go how I wanted to and kind of started just like snowballing. I was in a bad mindset. So, but really it doesn't matter. Like the outcome doesn't matter at all. Nobody. Yeah.
So I talked to a lot of people that weekend, right? We interviewed two people from every heat, I think, the whole weekend. You're not the only person that felt that way. Like events weren't going right. Events weren't going the way you planned. Like the way those events were set up, they had traps in them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody knew that pulling weights on a napkin was going to be that hard.
Yes, on a felt mat.
Yeah. And from that moment on, everybody just, some people dealt with it in a good way and just kind of let it go off their shoulders. And other people like clung on to that and like, this is bad. And then it just kept getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
So were you one of the latter?
Yeah, I'd probably say so, which like sucks to admit, but I do find it hard to let things go sometimes and then not let it flow into the next event is really tough. Like you try your best to reset, but it can be really hard sometimes to pull yourself out of that like darker headspace once you're in it. So I've had to practice that a lot. I'm not always successful still, but we're getting there.
And like I said, you weren't the only one. Last year was very bizarre with the way the workouts were designed because there were so many new movements, so many new things kind of being thrown at you. This year, the workouts are already out and it's very classic CrossFit. Nothing new. Does that give you some peace of mind going in this year?
Good question. In a way, I do actually like kind of the weird stuff to an extent, because I'm kind of just like that naturally able to pick things up quite quickly. So that always gives me an advantage, but it makes me nervous performing under pressure on the floor. So in a way, yes. It makes me a bit more comfortable. And I mean, we have so much time to be practicing all the workouts that you know exactly like what your game plan should be roughly.
So here's a weird question because I've heard a lot of people talk about this. I do a coach's show with Tristan Patrick. He's the head coach at Ascend Athlete. And he talked about like sometimes you don't want your athlete to know what it's going to feel like because it's not going to feel good. And to get to that place, you've got to go to that bad place. So it's sometimes bad to know ahead of time because are they willing to go back?
Yeah, it is kind of funny like how there is that there's both sides to the coin, right? Like usually if you repeat a workout, you're going to do better because you learned where you should and shouldn't be pushing, but it's exactly that as well. Like once you know how something feels, I think it's just natural, like human nature, our brain knows and is like danger, don't right. do that again. And so there is some resistance as well. Yeah, there's both sides. I find for myself, like when I'm testing workouts, I don't go 100%. And then you also have to realize too that when you get to competition, you're going to be peaked. Like you're going to be feeling good. And then there's all the adrenaline. So you have to kind of let go of how it was feeling in training as well, because it's going to feel better. It's kind of like your warm up versus the actual workout. Like the warm up always feels crappier
yes.
than the actual workout. But I agree to an extent, but it is important to test it, at least if you're even just going to do part of it. just little snippets of the workout.
So, and I'm sorry, I'm quoting all these other people, but it helps me get to where I want to go. Carolyn Privo is my co-host on my Sunday night show. She said, I think she's doing a mock-up weekend this weekend. Mm-hmm. And then she said, I'm not doing them again until mm-hmm. semis. Now I may incorporate the movements with some other stuff that is similar, but I'm not going to do the identical thing again after this weekend. How are you guys going to approach that? Just a one time, or are you going to hit them a couple times between now and then?
For myself, I don't think we'll do it more than once. Like, we're testing them this week. I did one and two yesterday. I'm doing three, four today. So for me, I just need to hit it once. Maybe that last workout, we could do the first, like, I don't think the lunges are necessary to do twice, but maybe trying the like echo bike into the 15 ring muscle ups in different sets would be valuable for me. But otherwise, I honestly think hitting it two, three times, like that's where you get exhausted and like, okay, you're not even excited to do it again once you're at semifinals. So yeah,
I would agree with another thing. Yeah, that was another thing Tristan warned about, is you don't want them to like hate the workout and be just blah going into semis.
No, exactly. And that's why I was slightly, I'm not going to say like upset, but kind of. The bad part about them releasing the workout so early is like, okay, well, these are all the movements that we're going to be doing in training now, like just over and over. So you do get a little bit bored of the combination, but it's somewhat necessary to do. So to go back to your other question, like now we're going to test it once and then we're going to have the combination of movements, but not necessarily the actual workout. So like, we're going to do a lot of toe to bar into front squats for event two.
Well, and thank goodness you're not the last week like Carol is. Like,
yeah, that's a slog for her.
Yeah. Yeah. For like Europe and Asia, like they're going to be done in a week. Mm-hmm. And that won't be so bad. And then it just gets increasingly worse as you go across, but wow. So, you've seen the workouts. Are you excited?
Yeah. Yeah. The number one's a bit rough, I would say, but I'm kind of glad it's number one and then you get out of the way. The rest I really like.
And that's the 800s and the clean and jerks, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just hard. It's going to be hard for everyone. And you know, you have to stay engaged. It's kind of like that burpee wall ball one.
It's kind of one of those ones where you got to treat it like a sprint, even though it's not a sprint.
Yeah. You just have to be extremely uncomfortable the whole time. That's how you know you're doing it right.
That's the one I thought of when I thought you don't want to go to that dark place and practice and then have to revisit that at the real thing. Mm-hmm. But that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all going to be suffering pretty hard after that one.
Yeah. You come in a higher place. You're in 27th. So you won't be in the first heat, which you weren't last year, but it was a much bigger field. Is there a goal this year to end the weekend in a certain, like certain heat, certain position? Or are you going for the games?
I don't have a placement goal, honestly. I think it's better for me not to. Like, okay. I still want to go out and I want to do my best and put my best effort in and feel proud of myself for pushing. But what I've learned is I don't have control of what other people are doing. I don't have control of where I end up placing wise. So, and I don't want to sell myself short. Like, I honestly think like essentially anyone could get that like last spot or two to the games. If you're having like an amazing weekend, you're feeling good, the events line up, like the top 40 are not actually that different in level, other than maybe like the top, you know, five. Like yeah, our fitness level is pretty similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the West is very, very top heavy. Like you have the top four or five. And then I think everybody else is kind of bunched in there. So if you would get like 9 or 10, it's kind of anybody's game for those last four or five spots.
Yeah, like it's up for grabs. So we'll see what happens.
Which makes for a very interesting competition.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be a good one.
Is there anybody that you line up against that like intimidates you because you're a fan or anything like that, if you would be in the same heat as that person?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say like intimidated. Like obviously, like Gazan, for instance, is just like an extremely talented athlete. Like she's a rock. Like I can't beat her on legless rope climbs. Like realistically, you know? Right. So something like that. But at the same time, it's not like her being good takes away from my fitness. Like I can still go out and do my best.
And I love the attitude.
Yeah. I don't have to compare myself to her necessarily, you know?
Yeah. I was talking to somebody last year who had like grown up following Katrin. Like she was her favorite. And I think in the first event, by the way they fell, she was going to be right beside her in the first event. And like, she was worried about how that was going to affect her. Mm. Because as a, like, and she was young, like 19, 20. So I can't remember who it was now, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, because I remember last year, I think I was like beside Chloe Wilson on the first one, and I'm a fan of her, even though she's not competing this year, sad. But in my head, I was like, I think I could have kept up with her on that workout, but I think subconsciously, or maybe consciously, I was thinking like, well, she should be able to beat me on this workout, like she's Chloe Wilson. So you do have to be mindful of that. Again, like don't sell yourself short just because they're good at something.
Do you work full time?
Not anymore. So I was last year. I quit my job in October, my full time job. So I was completely unemployed for about a month, and I quickly realized that's not for me. I need something to outside of CrossFit, just to have something else in my identity, like something else to focus on, because I found I was just hyper-focusing in on training or how my body was feeling, like injuries, and I was just becoming a bit too like obsessive about those things, to like an unhelpful extent, like there's nothing you can do. So I'm doing consulting, so I have a background in quality assurance and food manufacturing. So I got in touch with, I have a friend who also does it, and she got me in touch with the company she contracts for. And so now I'm doing some work with them, where essentially you can pick what times and days you want to work, how much you want to work. So that's been really nice and healthy, and also a steep learning curve there, which keeps me mentally stimulated. So I'm in a good place now. I'm very balanced.
Is that the job you had before you quit? You were doing quality assurance with food?
Well, technically it was operations, but quality assurance would still fall under that. But yeah, that's what I was doing before.
For a major restaurant, company, supermarket?
No, it was for Righteous Gelato, their frozen desserts manufacturer, and in Canada mostly, but also the US.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard of them.
Yeah, I probably mentioned it last year, and I'm wondering if they'd be in Ohio now, probably.
Yeah, I don't, we didn't talk about your job last year. I just listened to it back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I didn't know what you did.
Oh, it's okay.
So yeah, I'm learning new stuff this year. Mm-hmm. So we did talk last year about the autoimmune issues that you have dealt with still under control?
Yeah, now they are. So, because I'm trying to think of the timeline, because around quarterfinals last year, my arthritis was flaring up a little bit. I got it kind of under control for semis, and then in the summer it flared up again. And I was trying to cut back on the medications I was taking, like essentially naproxen, like Aleve. But I quickly realized that that's probably something I just need to be taking on a regular basis to keep it under control. So that's what I've been doing, and it's helped a lot in the past 6 months now. Probably I've been in a really good place with that.
Okay. If you weren't being a professional athlete-ish, would you need the medications as much, or is it what you do to your body that makes it kind of more a requirement?
I think I'd probably still need it here and there. Like, I would get flare-ups once in a while, or if I decided, like, when we originally got our house, we were doing a lot of painting and crouching and stuff. That aggravated it. So I probably still need to, like, take it here and there, but not on a regular basis is more my thought. But we'll see once I'm done competing, whenever that is, and if I can scale back on that side. We'll have to see where my body's at.
Yeah. For you Canadians, you seem to go forever. So
we'll see. I think physically I could go for many more years, obviously. We'll see though. Mentally, if I can handle it, and if, yeah.
Like Corey says, if I could ever find my mouse, there we go. Is anyone ever done competing?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to make that transition, or maybe you think you're done and then realize you're not quite. Like, maybe you still want to compete to an extent at a certain level, but maybe it's not the main focus of your life. So you just have to decide where your priorities are, really.
I think in Corey's life, he competes at everything. So, like, yeah, he may not compete in CrossFit anymore, but
right.
And he is doing his first ever semifinal this year as a 47-year-old.
Wow. So, congrats.
Yeah. The Civic Student says hashtag Team Amy.
Nice. Civic Student.
So last thing I'm going to leave you with is I was talking to Gabby Spence last week, and we were talking about the battle at the barracks. And lo and behold, when you look at the podium, there you were.
Yep.
Explain to me how big of a competition that is in your neck of the woods in Canada.
It's funny because, I mean, like, the actual location is obviously it's a CrossFit gym. Like, it's a box. So physically speaking, it's quite small and compact in the competition. However, it's extremely competitive. Like, I think they made a post, and the top four of us are all going to semifinals. And the fifth place was Megan Sears, who went to semis last year. So it's an extremely talented pool of ladies that all come and compete there. Like, yeah, I would compare it to, I mean, even some years at CanWest, like, probably had the same amount of talent. So, yeah, it's always a good battle in the barracks.
Yeah, Gabby shared that it was the place where she first felt like she figured out how to have fun at a competition. Because of the people she got to compete with.
Yeah. So, yeah, we do always good to have good chats. And I mean, it's tight quarters in there. So you're, you get to know one another, and they do make it a really cool environment. Like, they always bring out the lights and, like, the steam machine for the big lifts. So it's I would say it's quite bonding of an experience.
Kyle says barracks is very overstimulating. Good practice.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, when you have to like max out your jerk when there's like lights shining right in your eyes, it's good. It's good practice.
Josie says, "Love you, Ames."
Thank you.
And she, and also best of the best of the best.
Thanks, Jocelyn.
So we already talked about your goals. We already talked about all the stuff you've done to kind of prepare. Compared to last year, how are you positioned yourself going into semis compared to last year?
Ooh, good question. I definitely feel fitter than last year. We've done a ton of work on just like endurance side, mental side to keep pushing during the endurance. I haven't ran as much as I would have liked, but we're getting in some running leading up to comp. And then on the skill side, like the positioning, we've done a ton of toes to bar. I don't know if you remember, but I blew up quite hard on the last year's toe to bar event. So just feeling a lot more comfortable with those movements and gaining confidence. So I would say I'm a lot more confident. I'm in a lot better headspace going into semifinals. Like, not every day is perfect. I'm not going to say that. But I feel like I'm ready to go in and actually enjoy the experience. Like, so cool. We're in the tennis stadium in Carson, and not take it for granted. Like, who knows what's going to happen next year.
Are you a student of the history of CrossFit to know how iconic that is?
Carson?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I know the games were held there for, I don't know how many years, 4, 5.
Like, do you
ever watch those documentaries?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yes. Yeah, I honestly, well, I was trying to find them. I think I have to rent them on Apple. There's like the past 2 years are available, but then past that I have to rent. But it's very tempting just to get myself hyped up. Like, whoa, we're going to be competing where the games were. It's pretty cool.
I started CrossFit in 2011. I purchased them all as they came out. So I own all of them.
Good. That's awesome. I know, because I love going back and rewatching them.
Yeah. And the tennis stadium is so iconic and so many big events happen there. I hope, and I want to be there so bad. I just don't know if it's going to happen this year.
Why? Wait, why?
Well, I just found out on Monday that I was approved for credentials. And now the price of airline tickets across country for me is insane.
Yeah,
not to mention accommodations in California is not cheap.
No, everything. It adds up, right?
Yeah.
But I hope you come. I feel like you should do a GoFundMe or something. Or a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's been a weird season for us this year as a company. Mm-hmm. I had some health problems at the beginning of the year and wasn't sure I was going to be able to do much of anything. And now I'm kind of fully recovered, trying to get back into the swing, and I'm just trying to tell myself it's only one season. You just do what you can. But yeah, either way, we're covering it. And we're going to be reaching out to people as we do our coverage from the weekend. So you may get a DM from me just to kind of see what it's like and have you on to talk about your events during the weekend, if you'd be cool with that.
Oh yeah. I'd be happy to pop on and chat.
Yeah. William Clark actually asks a question.
He's my husband.
How do you feel about the first two workouts?
He knows I tested them yesterday. They're tough. My legs are very sore.
Is he in the house with you now, or is he at work or something?
No, he's on a job. He goes into the field a lot, so he's up in Hinton, Alberta. It's like 6 hours away today, but happy to see he has time to tune in.
I so we have and I told you this last year, we have a lot of Canadian listeners. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to do Canadian geography last week. And British Columbia and Alberta are side by side on the west. And mm-hmm. the people in the chat were saying, that's the best and forget about the rest. Is that how you people in the west really feel?
I mean, so my husband's from Ontario. I went to Ontario for school. So that's more the eastern side, like around the lakes.
I've actually been there.
Okay. I mean, and my brother lives in Toronto, so I can't like, and we have, my husband's family's in Ottawa and also like greater Toronto area. So I can't totally bash it, but we'd never move to Ontario. We'd never move back there. Yeah, for our lifestyle, at least, like we have the mountains and like BC. If you want to go to BC, it's so close. Like the Vancouver Island's amazing on the ocean. So I will say there's still perks. Like obviously Ontario has amazing lakes and stuff like that. And I have a lot of friends there, but
wow,
Ontario, that's jostling. There's just too many people in Ontario, specifically Toronto area.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been in, I've been to Toronto a bunch of times. I don't think the weather was ever nice one time I was there.
Mm.
And Lake Superior was like, or is it Lake Ontario? Lake Ontario,
Ontario
was like rough.
Yeah, depending on the time of year, like they have really hot days in the summer. So that's like lovely lake weather. And it's like warm nights. So there's still benefits to Ontario, because here in Alberta, like it can be really hot in the day and then it drops at night because it's a lot more dry. So it's like
gotcha.
Maybe it's 30 in the day and then it drops to like 15 Celsius. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know the
conversion. You metric people.
Yeah.
No, but I can somewhat convert ish. I get an idea. Yeah. Well, as always, now that we've bashed Canada, Eastern Canada, we can end the show, but I'm so, so glad to have had you on again this year. I'm glad you're back. Glad we got to catch up, and we'll be watching and rooting either from here or from there. And we'll try to catch up again that weekend.
Awesome. I so much appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. And it's always fun chatting with you.
Yeah. With that, thank you to everybody in the chat. You've been awesome. And we'll see everybody next time on the Clydesdale Media Podcast featuring the athletes of the semifinals. Bye, guys. Well, there was the end and it didn't happen. We're going to try again. C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCor are delivering the most effective, best tasting, and highest quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.